jump. Okay. Good to see you, Judd, Arthur, Gloria, Phyllis, Zadie, Toby, and Oliver. Okay, so here we go, guys. We find ourselves on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, that is 13A, toward the top, about five, one, two, three, four, five lines down, which should still be the first page in Art Scroll. So just to give you a little bit of an overview of what to expect and what we'll be doing, and I have my laptop and Safer configured in a way that they're a little bit side by side. So if you don't hear me when I turn, let me know and I'll try to reconfigure on the fly if I need to. So the overview of things to expect for tonight is we're going to talk about something that came up when we first did the Mishnah before I went on vacation. There was something called Gezeiras Otzer, which basically the concern was that people are going to come, they're going to take their bundles that need to dry out, they're going to throw it on top of their structure. And then it wasn't put on there for the purpose of providing shade, of being a sukkah, but they're going to leave it there anyway. And it turns out you don't have a kosher sukkah. So they made a gezeira that anything, even if it checks off the boxes, it grows from the ground, it's detached from the ground, it's not mekabel tumah anymore. Nonetheless, if it's a bundle, even if the materials are inherently okay, you cannot use it for schach. So we're first going to talk about some instances in which things may seem like they are a bundle, but in truth they are not, and they can be used for schach. Then we're gonna quote Rav Chisda, and basically we're just going to teach a miscellaneous idea from Rav Chisda about the identity of maror. We're not gonna go too deep into that. It's just a little bit of a tangential point. And then we're going to ask the question toward the end of the shiur, which is, we're going to be talking about bundles. So the question is, how many does it take to be considered a bundle in halacha? So that's what we're going to ask. And then we'll end off with just final cases, discussing final cases, which are also exceptions to the rule that aren't considered to be bundles. So we should have bundles of fun tonight. Oh, that was terrible. Okay, let's jump right in. Apparently, I'm not good at humor, so hopefully, I'm at least good at Gemara. We'll see. Amar Rav Gidal, that's what we're up to. Amar Rav Gidal. Amar Rav Gidal, Amar Rav. Hai afkusa dedikwa misachem behu. So you have to imagine, right? So the dekel from the date palm. So the leaves shoot out, but they all come from the same origin, same stem, for lack of a better term. So they're all shooting out in different directions. So misachem behu, you can use it for schach. Now, even though all these leaves are bound together, since they are naturally, the way they grow is that they are bound together, that's not called binding. Binding is when you do it artificially. So even though you go ahead and you bind it again, right? Because they all come from, imagine they're all shooting out from one side. So you just need to bind the tops, that way they all stay in relatively straight line. But binding on one side is not called binding for these purposes. It's not considered a bundle. A bundle is when it's completely separate and then you bring it all together. Likewise, we're going to have another example of this right now. Amra chisa amra bina barshila, hani dukri dekani. Generally, they're I would translate it as reeds, but I saw it's also translated as cane. So whatever. The point being is similar principle, leaves that are shooting out or branches that are shooting out everywhere. So misach. Oh, Phyllis, welcome. Phyllis. Okay, good to have you. You're welcome to join me here at the Bima if you'd like. Though you might need to mute me on your side, otherwise it's gonna echo. Okay, very. I think, or you just put the volume all the way down or something. Okay, good to have you with us. Do you need a Gemara, Phyllis, or there should be a. We're on 13A. Yeah, and if you need, there's art scrolls there also if you want to grab one, but up to you. Okay. Okay. See, that was a special surprise. Is it all right if I go forward, Phyllis, or you want me to wait a second? Or okay, I'll project loud enough so you can hear me while you get your Gemara. Okay, there we go. So these different branches that are shooting out, you could also use them for scoff, even though they are bound together. If they are naturally bound together, that's not called a bundle for disqualification purposes. And even though you go ahead and you bind the side where everything is separated, Eged on one side does not constitute a bundle. Finally, Tani Nami Hafi, we even have a brisa which supports this point. Kanim, the Dukranim, Misach. Initially, it sounds like Kanim and Dukranim are two separate things, but the Gemara asks, Pshita. Kanim Pshita. So I know that you can use Kanim, but what would be wrong? They check off all the normal boxes. So, Ema. This is referring to the case we had before when the leaves are shooting out and you bind them together. That's not called being a bundle for our purposes. End of section number one for tonight. One out of three and potentially out of four, depending how far we decide to go. Okay. Anything I can clarify on that point? I think it's, I shouldn't say I think it's relatively straightforward because if someone thinks I'm relatively straightforward, then I have to actually answer the question, right? That's discouraging. Okay. No, I don't see any hands, so let's go forward. Next. Now we're going to bring up a tangential point, as the Gemara tends to do. Once they bring in one rabbi, they say, you know what? Why don't we share with you another great idea from this rabbi? Vamaram Chista, Amarabina Barshila. Hani Marisa de Agma, Mar of the Swamps. Adam Yotzib Hanidechavasa Pesach. That constitutes a legitimate form of Mar. The Mishnah talks about when it's identifying Mar, there are five different kinds of Maror. Now you look at Rashi says, what is this kind of Mar that we're talking about? It's called Chazeres Shel Agam. So Rashi assumes Chazeres, right? That the leaves are the mar, like what we generally use, not the frame per se. Okay, but Tosa challenges Rashi a little bit on the identity of mar, but we'll leave that on the side. So it seems that even though it's not called plain mar, this is mar of the swamp, it seems that we are okay with it anyway, even though Marisa da'agma is not one of the five types of mar identified by Chazal or by other members of Chazal. So the issue is that we see in another area of halacha that having a shem levi, which is an accompanying name, right, an additional, what would be the right way to say it, a modifying name, I'm trying to think of the right term for it, you know, an additional name that comes along with it, would actually suggest that it's something different entirely, that's not the same species. So in regards to azo, we're going to use the azo, which I think is hyssop, if that is the print.
Hyssop.
Hyssop, is that your... I always see it translated. Hyssop or hyssop or, see, I only see it come up in this context. That's how I learned herbology is through this. Okay, so the azo is important for two reasons, maybe more, but two that come up here. One is when we are purifying someone who is tamei, we use the agudas ezo to splash them, and that's part of what purifies them from their tumah. It also comes up. We use also an agudas ezo. Anyone know where else it comes up earlier in the Torah during the narrative section in Shmos? Or in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, we use it for the blood on the doorposts. So there actually is a gezeira shava between the both of them. We'll talk about this in Toso soon. That the same way it was expected they're using it in Aguda, that they were bound to, right, like a good Hashem, they're bound together. So too for the laws of Tumah, they also the Ezov needs to be bound together. We'll get more on that later. So Meitve, Ezov, it says Ezov in the Torah, Below is of Yavan, below is of Kochali, below is of Midbar, below is of Romi, below call Ezo Eshel Shem Levi. The fact that the Torah says Ezo and does not say anything else to modify it means anything else that an Ezo of Midbari or an Ezo of Romi or whatever we call it, that would be a different kind of species that the Torah does not intend for us to use. So then the question is, this Marisa da Agam, Da'agma, this maror of the swamp, the fact it's called Marisa Da'agma, not just maror, would suggest that that's not what the Torah or Chazal had in mind. So how do we answer this? How do we figure out this, reconcile this inconsistency? Amar Abaye, Kol Shem Zadashmo Kodem Matan Torah, Ubasa Torah Pidola, here a little bit based on that who. So if the Torah, if already when the Torah was written, there were all these di oh no, don't hear me, Judd. I don't hear you.
When you turn to the side,
Yeah.
it's not working. Okay. Let me see if there's something I can do here. Give me a second. Oh, maybe I can use the second box. I really don't want my laptop tipping over here. That's why you came here, Phyllis. Everyone's invited to come join. All right. Hopefully, my laptop doesn't fall off the Sudoku box. One second. Let's see what happens. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Baruch Hashem. Okay. Seems stable enough. It's on top of a Sudoku box right now. Okay. Right. More purposes than one. Okay. So let me back up for a moment. So our the issue we're trying to solve is that it seems that when the Torah gives us says Ezov and doesn't say any other kind of Ezov, it means that the Ezov has an additional name to it. It suggests that it's a different species. So Amar Abaye, Kol Shishtash Bokodem Matan Torah. If there were different versions of Ezov before Matan Torah, there's this Ezov, that Ezov, Ubasa Torah Pida Love, Zehu. Shem Levi. So the fact that there were during the times of the Torah already different kinds of Ezo, and the Torah said Ezo without any modification means the Torah deliberately, specifically wants only Ezo without any additional specifications. However, I'll just finish this one line just to finish the thought. Vahani lo nishtash Torah klal. Whereas when we are talking about Maror. There weren't all these different variations, at least by name, of Maror during the time of the Torah when we were commanded to have Maror on Pesach. So therefore, it's not necessarily a contradiction. It could still Marisa d'Agma could still fall under the rubric of regular Maror. It'd be very interesting if there were historians that found records of different kinds of references, different kinds of Maror, different kinds of Ezov, and to figure out, when this all happened. But because of this very ambiguity, perhaps Rava gives a different answer, and then I'll pause for questions. Rava Amar, Hani Marisa Stama Stama Shemayu. So really, it's just plain Maror. Bahai de Kari Luhu Marisa de Agma. The reason we call it Maror of the Agam, Mishu de Mishtakach Ba'agam, because it's found in a swamp. The fact that we call it Maror of the swamp doesn't mean this is the actual bona fide Mara. It's just that we call it Mara of the Swamp because that's the Mara we find in the swamp. So no big lumdisha chidushim over here. Rava just gives us a what I think is an answer that some of us probably were thinking of ourselves. Yes, Phyllis. And I'll repeat her question when she's done. Azov is something coming out of a wound in the Torah. So right. So Phyllis talks about Azov, right? So Azov is brought up in the context of Tumah. That is what we're discussing. So Azov comes up in two places I'm aware of, either Tumah or in Mitzrayim. We learn from Mitzrayim that it needs to be bound together. It's a Gezeirah Shavah connecting them. Very good. You know what? We will. Why don't we? You know, we'll take a look at Tosa soon. We need to do next section of Gemara. Tosa is going to elaborate on this very Gezeirah Shavah. So, okay, let's get to the next section of Gemara. This section of Gemara, one needs to focus a little more just to follow the flow. Nothing overly complicated. Just it's a little bit of a back and forth. So you just want to if you need to take your shot of espresso, then you should do that now. Okay, here we go. Arachista. The question we're going to be dealing with now is, we've been talking about bundles of schach, bundles of azov, but how many branches do you need for it to constitute a bundle? So here we go. Amar achista eged bechad lo shmei eged. An eged that has one branch, that's not an eged. That we know for sure. Eged, shlosha shmei eged. If there's at least three, that is a bundle, right? You have a zimun. Shnayim, but if let's say there's only two, machlokis are Yosi Rabbanan. So that is subject to debate between Rav Yosi and the Rabbanan. Ditnan, mitzvahs ezov shlosha klachim, ubehen shlosha gevulin. So I had to sit with Google Images to figure this one out. So like what these words were referring to. So I looked up, I was curious what the English for klachim was, because I saw in the Masifta, and it wasn't giving me precise terminology. So apparently it's a sprig, is how it gets translated. I'm like, thank you, Art Scroll. What is a sprig? So I had to search that one up online. Right, it's like a branch and has little budlings coming out of it. Right, sprig of parsley. So you can see, as you know, I don't really know much about herbology or what goes on in cooking in the kitchen. So I learned it all as I go through the Gemara. So I learned what a sprig was today. That was my big chiddush that I learned today, a sprig. And the sprig apparently has different stems, little thing, a stem coming out of the sprig as well. And then it has budlings in addition to that. So anyway, so what the Rabbanan say is that there needs to be three without any equivocation. Three, or it's not a bundle and it's pasul. Rav Yossi Omer, mitzvahs ezov shlosha givulin, ushayarav shnayim, but the remainder, after you bound it together, what happens is that they're very weak, these little sprigs, so they could break easily. So if you wind up with only two out of three left, and then, or Garmudav Kolshehu. Garmudav are, I think, the little stublings coming out of the branches. They have like little flowering things coming out. So that there's no precise measurement. The Kolshehu is fine. But the point over here is that Rav Yossi says that if one breaks off and you have two left, it's still kosher to be used again. Kesalka Daitin, shnayim. So the fact that two is okay if it breaks off would suggest that even initially, b'dieved, if you only had two, that would still be fine according to Rav Yossi. V'hai diktani shlosha lemitzvah. And that which we said that it needs to have three, that is lechatchila. That's ideally it should have three. And now we can infer. We do Rabbi Yossi Shlosha LeMitzvah, LeRabbanan Shlosha LeAkev. So now that we know that Rav Yossi is the one who holds that you only ideally need three, but could suffice with two, that would suggest since the Rabbanan did not offer any qualification, they just said three and left it at that, that means that three is Ma'akev. That without three, it's not kosher to be used. Okay. That's nice. However, it would be nice, but there's a braisa that explicitly tells us that that's not shitas Rabbi Yossi. But Tani, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ezov tchilaso shnayim, ushayarav echad, pasul. If you start with two and end up with one, it's pasul. Ve'eno kosher ad shehei tchilaso shlosha, ushayarav shnayim. You need to start with three, and if afterwards is two, fine. But you need to start with three. That is not up for discussion. So that would suggest that Rav Yossi holds that three is indispensable. You need to have three no matter what. So great, but the Rabbanan also seem to hold that. So let me just unless it's a clarification. Okay, so I'll just wrap just for my own sake so I keep my train of thought. So the Gemara says, "Ipuch." Okay, you know what? Let's flip around the shittos. Rav Yossi is going to take shittas Rabbanan. Rabbanan are going to take what we thought was shittas Rav Yossi. So Rav Yossi shlosha akev, Rabbanan shlosha lemitzvah. So Rav Yossi is now going to be the one who says that three is indispensable, and the Rabbanan are going to want, are the ones who are going to say three is only ideal. Vatanya. Now, usually Vatanya means a question from a braisa. This is actually going to be a supporting braisa. Ezov chilaso shnayim ushiyarav echad kasher. So we need to figure out who is the tana of this braisa. We're going to assume this is shitas rabbanan. Ezov chilaso shnayim ushiyarav echad kasher. So when we're talking about the ezov, if you start with two and end up with one, that's kosher. The ein apostle ashit chilaso shiyarav echad. It's not disqualified until the beginning and the remainder is one. Now the Gemara understands the latter line there to mean shiyarav echad pasul. You're telling me if I only have one left, it's pasul. Ha'aretz shiyarav echad kosher. I thought you told me as long as you have one remaining, that's still kosher. The brisa seems to self-contradict itself. So turning to Gimel on the base, ela ema ad shetehei tchilaso kishiyarav echad. What it's saying is that if you start with one, just like you would end with one, if you start with one, then that's an issue if you start with one. The point being is that we see from this braisa that there's a shita that holds that if you start with two, that is legitimate. That is okay. Now we know it can't be Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi holds it needs to be three. That leads us to believe then that shitas chachamim of the Rabbanan is that starting with two is okay. Three is a mitzvah, but two is indispensable. Okay, so we figured out machlokes Rabban Rav Yossi if three is a bundle or whether two is a bundle. Okay, end of that piece of Gemara. Let's just go a little bit further. We'll get a quarter way down here. Very good. So Phyllis brings up Tosos Kasha. So Tosos Kasha is going to be, wait, didn't we have like this whole discussion not so long ago where we discussed whether I need to bind the Lulav, Hadassim, and Aravos together? Is that your question? You're asking, we had this discussion about that, about the Lulav. Oh, yeah. So the Hadassim are three. Interesting. Phyllis mentions the Hadassim are three, Aravos are two. Sounds like similar kind of thing going on over there. Okay, but, let's get to... But I think, Phyllis, you're pointing us in the right direction, which is we've been talking about the Ezo bundle this entire time. And the bundle, the way we got into this was we talked about the bundle of Schach. But you know what? There's another bundle that we haven't been discussing, the Arba Minim, the four species. If you remember, we had a Machlokis, I believe it was Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, whether a Lulav requires an Eged, whether it needs to be bound together in order to be kosher. So, right, we have some recollection of the happening. We don't have recollection. I'm telling it to you right now. It's a machlokas. It's a machlokas if you need an egg. Everyone holds, at very least, zekhe livan behu. It's a good thing, lecharchila, to have an egged. But if you don't have one, have you been yotzei the mitzvah? So Phyllis asked, it says straight in the Torah. So it says in the Torah you need the four species, but it doesn't, it says lekach them, you have to take them, but doesn't it say that they need to be bound together? So there, okay, so the whole machlokus there was whether we make a gezeir or shava of lekicha lekicha. Do we say, just like over there, it uses the of Ezov, it uses a lashon of lekicha of taking, and it needs to be bound together. Do we say also that a lulav needs to be bound together as well? So let's look at Tosos. The Ezov is first, and then we learn to. Well, that's the machlokas, perhaps. So let's take a look at Tosos and Gimel Amud Aleph. Turn back to 13a. Those who want to follow along, I don't believe they've come out with the art scroll Tosos for Sukkah yet. They are working for some Masechtos. So you can either follow along inside or you can listen out loud. So we're doing the third to last Tosos, Mitzvahs Ezov Shlosha Kalachim. It's toward the bottom, third to last Tosos. Not too big. I think we can handle it. So Tosos says as follows. Gabe Ezov de Para, Lok Siv Aguda. So how do we know in the first place? We've been making an assumption the entire time that Azov that's being used for the Parah Aduma to help be mitaher and purify those who are tame needs to be bound together. But it doesn't actually say that in the Torah. Elagave Azov de Pesach Mitzrayim Siv. Rather, it only mentions for the Azov used when we were in Egypt. It says it needs to be bound together. And ubisifrei, so in the Medrash Halacha and the Sifrei, yalaf gezer shava lekicha lekicha, shlosha, af kan shlosha. So we figure out from here, just like there, it's a minimum of three for an aguda. So to here, it's a minimum of three as well. So v'rabanan and the shita rabanan delo yalfi le'il gabe lulav lekicha lekicha. So rabanan were the shita above who do not hold that there's a gezeirah shava between agudas ezov and arba minim. So they say the makshri b'she'eno agud. So they hold that it arba minim are kosher even if they're not bound together. Kesavre deme'ezov le'ezov nemra gezeirah shava. They hold that the gezeirah shava is between one kind of ezov and another kind of azov, but it does not extend to arba minim. Last I checked, an azov is not one of the four species. So that makes sense. Okay, so the rabbanon have a reasonable place to draw the line. They say azov to azov you can learn, but not azov to lulav hadassim and arabos. So that's number one. I'll just wrap up the tosos and then I'll take your question, Phyllis. But then, okay, I understand the shita of the chachamim, but where I realized before I said it. Aguda wasn't mentioned in the Torah. We learned the number from Mitzrayim. Okay, so that was a quick correction. So the next question of Tosos, that Tosos actually leaves us with a question, with a tzarichian. They do not give us an answer. There are Rishonim Achronim that try to give an answer, but we'll leave it with the question. Utema, de'i gezeirah shavahi, if it's true, now, Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that we derive from Agudas Ezov, this notion that it needs to be bound together. Utema, Shavahi Haktani Seifa, the Hach Mishnah Basov Perek Echadasar Parah, Lo Agdon Kasher. It was taught in the Mishnah that if you fail to bind the Ezov together, Bidyeved, it would be kosher in the end of the day. So here's the issue, right? We have an issue of Dio Levamedin Leos that you're not allowed. If I'm deriving the laws of binding from the Azo, I can't derive a law that's more stringent than its origin, where it comes from, right? If I'm only learning from Azo, I can't assume that the destination is going to be more machmir than the origin that I'm learning the din from in the first place. So for Azo, if you forget to bind it together, post facto, it's kosher. Yet for Rabbi Yehuda, we need to explain. Umay shamei lulav Rabbi Yehuda de Tanya agud kosher she'eno agud pasul mishum zigalp lekicha. If so, how could Rabbi Yehuda say that's indispensable? You absolutely need to bind the lulav together, otherwise you're not yotzei the mitzvah. Whereas ezov, which we learn the din from that needs to be bound together, is okay if you forget to bind it together. So there seems to be an inconsistency, and Tosos just leaves us with a question. There's different answers that are given, maybe because Lulav, I think the Sfas Emes says that Lulav has an additional element of Zekeli van Beyu. You're supposed to beautify it, so that bumps it up a little bit. But the fact that Tosus doesn't offer a possible answer suggests that it's very difficult to make sense of it. Now you're going to say maybe over there, it's not Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. It's difficult. Okay, so we'll leave it as a Tzarchian. Right, so Phil is saying you can't make a bracha without the arba minim. So it's not just simply it's not just simply that you can't make a bracha without the arba minim. Of course, everyone holds you need the arba minim. The arba minim are indispensable, but whether you have to actually bind them together, not just hold them. No, you have to hold them, but like you know how we bind them together as well. We take the holder. The way we do is we take the holder and the. So right, so Phil says we do it for convenience. Yes, convenience is a part of it, But also there's like a real halachic reason to bind it together as well. The only question is whether it's indispensable or not. Yeah, Esro got off the hook. Yeah, it's a good point. Okay, so let's go back to your Gimel and Beis, the 13b, and we'll wrap up our Gemara for tonight, and then I'll pause for questions, and then we'll conclude. So we are four lines down. We are returning to the topic we started with. We're coming full circle, which is we're going to do two more exceptions to the rule, things that we thought would have been considered bundled together, but are not actually considered bundled together. And this time, you see, before we wanted things to be considered bundled together for Ezov and for Arbaminim purposes. Now we specifically don't want things to be bundled together because that would disqualify them from being used for Skat. So here we go. Darsh Bar Meimar, Hani Isuraisa Desura Mesachin Bohu. So these, which Rashi describes as Chavile Kunim, Shepos Limkor Bashuk of Ocharos of Dominion. So these different kind of reeds that they would sell in the marketplace. So that you're allowed to use for Skat. Why? Aflagav even though they're bundled together. They're not being bundled together because you want the daf to bundle together, but Lumen because you're not going to sell one reed, two reed. You're selling them so that way you could sell 10 or 15 or 20 faith at a time. But it's not meant to be bundled together. That's not how you intend for them to remain. It's not like, the stack of hay that you keep together. So that's why it's okay. One more example. Amar Avava Hani Srife d'Orbini. Do they put pictures in your Art Scroll Gemaras of Srife d'Orbini? It looks like a kippah, like a dome. No?
It kind of looks like an upside down artichoke.
Yeah. Yeah, you have a Phyllis cut. Okay, good. Okay, so Phyllis has it in hers, you probably have in yours as well. So these Rashi describes were the hut that the bird catchers.
Yeah.
They would hide in a hut. A bird comes by and they snap, they snap out, they grab the bird, and game over for the bird. So what's interesting about the way they're made is that all the reeds that are being used, all the willows are bound at the top, you can see. They converge at the top, and then there's like a little stitchwork almost at the bottom.
Right.
Question is, if you untie the top alone, is that considered to no longer be a bundle and can be used? Once you untie the knot on top, that big knot up there, it becomes kosher meat. But it's still bound at the bottom. All those little branches are still bound together at the bottom. And I'll wrap up on the Sharilu. Either he meant that you're supposed to untie the top and the bottom. Okay? Even if you don't untie the bottom, you only untie the top. Pull egg and also the top of low shrink. We have to think about what is a bundle. The purpose of a bundle is that you can move something around with ease. That you, instead of having to carry all these different branches everywhere, I have it together as a bundle as one unit. The thing is, once you untie the top of the 3 feet, the Urbany, it can no longer be moved around, practically speaking. So therefore, even though the branches are technically tied together at the bottom still, since it's no longer portable at this point, it loses its status as being bundled. And even if you don't fully untie it at the bottom, you can still use it for sukkah purposes. That brings us about a quarter way down your Gimel and Beis. And God willing, we'll pick up with that next week. And exciting news, you can see already on Yudalam and Aleph on 14a, our next Mishnah is already on the horizon. Okay. So wishing everyone, oh, actually, any questions before I conclude? I promise I would take questions if there are any.
Have
I
you ever
finished.
seen
Oh, oh.
the Chabad Lulav?
Chabad Lulav. Remind me what a Chabad Lulav looks like.
They don't talk, the regular ones that the shul has those like containers that you put in the Hadassim
Oh
and
yeah, it's like
Aravos.
all one like thin one thin thing. Right.
Right. The
So
Chabad, they just have
yeah.
I think they just used one of the leaves of the lulav to tie keep all four of them bound together.
Right. You're right, because that way you're not introducing an additional species. So it's supposed to be four species, not five species. So you want to use you want and those holders we use are from dried out leaves.
Right.
They're not a foreign material as well. We'd have to keep it to the four species. Now, another Chabad minhag that maybe I'll talk about in a shir over Yontif that I bought Rav Moshe Schirnbach's Moed Muzmanim, and he deals with the question. We talked about Noi Sukkah already, right? We talked about decorations in the Sukkah. Now, what's interesting is the Gemara says that there's no issue of having decorations in the Sukkah, and it actually implies that it's a good thing to have some decorations in your sukkah to enhance it because the teshu came to duru. It should be a little bit like your home. You should get comfy in there. So what's interesting is Chabad has the minhag not to put any decorations in their sukkah. I'm not Chabad. I just like, well, I'm even more machmer. We don't have any sukkah where I am because our balcony is covered by another balcony. So I'm so machmer. We don't even make any sukkah. So I outdid Chabad on that one. But Chabad doesn't have any decorations. I'll leave you off the question. Why does Chabad have no decorations in their sukkah? You could ask your local Chabad rabbi, but Moshe Schnurbach, who's not Chabad, has a possible answer that maybe we'll do in a future shir. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful Shabbos, and God willing, we love Sefer Chinuch Sunday morning, and I worked out the, and Beldadi should be arriving as usual, so see you there, hopefully. All right.
The tonight, coffee guys. Will be coming too.
Oh, yes, and Toby will be bringing her a coffee, Baruch Hashem. If anyone ever wants to pitch in and relieve Toby 1 week. She accepts that as well, from what I understand.
Okay. Occasionally.
Okay. All right. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. Good Shabbos.